Hello again, Mike O'Connor. Another Geezer Cast for you. It's been a while. It's sort of been all summer. But it seems like today is a great day to do a Geezer Cast. We are sort of in the middle of a financial meltdown this week. And since Geezer Casts are really just intended to be reflections for my unborn grandchildren, this seemed like a good day to do one. Stock market is headed south. I'm sort of imagining what it would be like to hear my great-granddad's words from 1929 when the stock market crash happened. Then I'd be really interested to hear what he had to say. So that's the main reason for doing a Geezer Cast today, is leave something for those unborn grandchildren. To set the stage, it seems like every time I go on vacation, the markets go nuts. So I went on vacation in 2000 or 2001, I can't even remember, but there was a big day on the stock market where stocks absolutely collapsed, and it was the beginning of the tech bubble breaking. And it does seem like when I go camping, it rains. And when I go on vacation, the stock market collapses. And it did it again. We just got back from a really nice 3 weeks sort of puttering around in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick in Canada. And here we are. It's the end of a terrible week on Wall Street. I think right now stocks are down something like 20% for the week. And I just looked a minute ago, and President Bush got on national TV, and of course, he's such an idiot that as soon as he finished talking, stocks started going down again. They'd actually been going up this morning, but Bush fixed that, so they're down 5% at this point today, and who knows where it's going to wind up. So I just thought I'd offer some reflections from sort of inside the tornado. Since I have a feeling that this will be another one for the history books. I did a Geezer Cast a while ago, sort of talking about how financial news is like Y2K news. It's really hard to get straight answers from moderates in the middle. You sort of have Pollyannas like George Bush who say it's all going to be fine, and you have doom and gloom people who are predicting the end of the world as we know it. And in this particular case, it looks like the doom and gloomers were right. This is certainly a mess that we're in. Interestingly enough, my portfolio isn't in such terrible shape. I was very reluctant to log on to our financial accounts while I was on the road because I wasn't sure whether the connections to the internet were secure. And I didn't want to give away the password to those accounts over an unsecure connection. So I didn't log in and check what our positions are until yesterday when we got back. And I was startled to discover that most everything that we've got is still in pretty good shape. We own not too many stocks. And the ones we do own seem to be holding up pretty well. We own a fair amount of bonds, and we have a lot of cash, mostly because I've been nervous about what's going on for at least 6 months. I think another thing I did about 6 or 8 months ago is I wrote a blog post on haven2.com called The Chronicle of a Banking System Collapse, and I've been just sort of updating this blog post off and on as, you know, grouchy articles come out. The thing that triggered it for me was when the Fed, this was before these big high visibility Fed bailouts, one of the things that the Fed did earlier this year is they opened up the overnight lending facility that the Fed runs, which up until 6 months ago or so was only available to regular banks. And it's the way that banks, traditional banks, handle liquidity is that they, when they get a little bit short of cash, they can borrow money from the Federal Reserve. And it, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff about the Fed and how it uses this to control the money supply and so on and so forth. won't go into that. But one of the things that they did earlier this year is they opened that facility up to investment banks, and investment banks immediately ran in and borrowed $100 billion from the Fed. And when you look at this graph, the graph is quite startling. And so somebody on Reddit posted the graph, and so I was moved to write a little blog post about that and say, hokey smokes, you know, $100 billion, that's a lot of money, maybe it'll trigger inflation, blah, blah, blah. Of course, now $100 billion is like chump change. I mean, we're now at the tail end of an $85 billion deal with AIG and buying out Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, and $700 billion bailout just passed Congress, and et cetera, et cetera. So $100 billion now doesn't seem like much, but it did back then. And of course, then you get the kind of echo effects around the world. So the world financial system seems to be teetering on pretty tough times. You know, the story yesterday was that Iceland, the country, is basically in bankruptcy. They had a financial system that I had no idea until yesterday when I read about all this. The banks in Iceland did a whole lot of transactions outside of Iceland, sort of riding the credit boom. And when this boom ended, basically the whole country went broke. So they've shut down the stock market. They've nationalized the three largest banks. And the International Monetary Fund is in there getting ready to do stuff. So I'm going to have to go off and Google the International Monetary Fund and find out what they do. That's another gang that I don't know a whole lot about, but that I think we'll be getting to know better over the next year or so. So, you know, it's just it's a bad time, and I'm happy to report that, at least for the O'Connors, the most of our assets will undoubtedly go down in value, but we aren't tied up in any of the collapsing kind of stuff, and so we'll make it through okay. One of the things that I did back when I first wrote that article about the chronicle of a banking system collapse is I bought a whole bunch of actual real gold. And at the time, I sort of felt like an idiot for doing it. I've never done anything quite that, reactionary or doom and gloomy or whatever you want to call it. I generally stay away from sort of extreme measures like that, but sort of it was almost on an impulse that I went off and did that and put, about a third of our sort of liquid assets in gold. And that's turned out pretty well. I mean, gold hasn't gone up a whole lot, but it's also not gone down a whole lot. It's basically retained its value, which, an economy where the stock market's lost something close to 30 or maybe 35% in the last 6 months, that's staying even is 35% better than the stock market, so that's a good thing. And so that, the question really becomes one of, well, what do you do now? And I, like everybody, a little bit befuddled by all this. I'm certainly hoping to elect a new president. I think that will go a long way towards fixing this, because I really do believe that most of the financial trouble that we've got right now is due to the leadership that we've had in Washington for about 8 years. And so I'm hoping to see a change there. Right now, fortunately, Obama is doing very well in the polls. So there are sites which, for you, my unborn grandchildren, these sites are going to be incredibly primitive, but for us today, they're really cool. There's a guy that has a site called 538.com where he got his start in baseball and tracking baseball statistics and predicting team outcomes and so on, and he's turned that expertise to the political side and has a wonderful site where he aggregates all of the overnight polls and statewide polls, and he seems to be doing very well at predicting what's going on. And he's got Obama's win percentage at something like 92% now. So I'm pretty perky about having a switch in administration, and I think that'll be a very good thing, because clearly where there are a lot of parallels between where we're at right now and where we were at during the Hoover administration in 1929. Same sort of free market approach, tendency towards deregulation, et cetera, et cetera, and just horrendous mistakes made that have had echoes all over the place. One of the things that'll be interesting to see is how far the stock market falls. In the Great Depression, I think the stock market fell 75% in value. So if we're in the same kind of thing, we've got a long ways to go before the bottom in stocks happens. And one of the other interesting things about the 1929 depression is that it took from 1929 until 1955 for stocks to get back to where they'd been. So this could be different than some of the other recessions that we've had. It's going to be pretty hard times. It may even be worse, because one of the things that was different back then is that the international economy wasn't nearly as interconnected as the economies are today. So we're seeing, you know, stock markets around the world collapsing. And as we go into sort of a worldwide recession in which, you know, we stop buying things from foreign countries, they stop buying things from us, you know, this could definitely amplify into something pretty nasty. And so I got no wise words for the immediate future, but I thought I'd talk a little bit about how it feels to be in the tornado so that you, my unborn grandchildren, can listen to this, and you'll know how it all turned out. Hopefully, we'll muddle through. That was the lesson that I took out of Y2K, is that there is a lot of power in just muddling through, that normal people doing the best they can eventually figure out sort of the right thing to do, and they do it. But we'll see. Anyway, that's the Geezer Cast for this time. Hope you enjoyed it, and I'll talk to you later.